I appreciate all of you. Have your Bibles with you. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. We're going to go from the 47th chapter, beginning with the first verse. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Version. Excited about the Word of God this morning. I believe God is wanting to minister to us. How many of you would say with me, Pastor, I'm ready to receive? I want to receive from God. You know what? I want to make something real clear. I don't care whether you want to receive from me or not. I don't even care whether you like me or not. I want you to love God, and I want you to receive from Him. He's here to minister to you and to meet your need and go before you and make the crooked way straight. God loves you, and He cares for you. 47th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east. And the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from the south of the altar. He brought me out of the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate by the way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water reaching to the ankles. And again, he measured 1,000 and led me through those waters, and water was reaching to the knees. And again, he measured 1,000 and the water was reaching to the loins. Again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. Father, I love you, and I praise you, and I thank you for your word. And I just ask for a very special anointing this morning, not an anointing on me or on the congregation, but on your word. And I remind you of what you said, that your word would not return void. I depend upon that, and I praise you, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, church, let's kind of get an idea of what's happening here. We got Ezekiel, God visits and ministers to Ezekiel, and he saw the temple. God took him through the temple. If you'll remember, a couple of books back, Isaiah encountered God, and he encountered him also in the temple, but he saw the glory of God. He saw the temple that God's train filled the entire temple. His glory was so overcoming that it filled the whole place. And now we have another prophet, and this prophet sees God, and he takes him through the temple. The Bible says that Ezekiel was in the spirit, and your KJV, New KJV says he was in the spirit and God carried him through the temple. He was in the spirit. I want to speak to you for just a few minutes this morning about getting in the spirit. How many of you know that most of the people in the modern day church are really afraid to get in the spirit? Amen. You know why? Because we've become so self-dependent. We really want to not do anything that we don't completely 100% understand, and actually those things that we thought of ourselves. So we want to be very careful. And listen, I want you to know one thing. God is in control of the Spirit. God will take care of you, and we need to learn that we need to get into the Spirit even before we do our praying, even before we do our studying, even before we come to church. We need to get into the Spirit of God. The Bible says that Ezekiel was in the spirit. We look over in the book of the Revelation, and the Revelation tells us, and I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. John was in the spirit. How many of you know that when you get in the spirit of God, you begin to see godly things? See, when you get in the Spirit of God, God can show you things that you cannot see on your own. You'll be able to experience things that you never thought that you would be able to experience, and do things you never thought you'd be able to do, and have things you never thought you'd be able to have. We need to learn that the Spirit of God is a leading and a guiding spirit, and we need to be in the Spirit. And when we get in the Spirit, God can begin to minister to us deeply. You know, I believe this. I always pray several times during the day, God, let me walk in your spirit. I know that in just a few minutes, I'm probably going to be in the flesh. But at this moment, I really want to walk in the spirit. I want to be able to hear you and understand you. I want to know where you're taking me, and I want to know what to expect when I get there. I'm telling you, church, you and I need to learn how to get in the spirit of God. I believe that before we ever pick up a Bible, we just need to pray, God, put me in the spirit, because I don't want to see what I've been told. I don't want to see what I want to see or someone else has shared with me. I want to see what you've got for me. God has something new for you every day. God has something new, and we need to get into the spirit where we won't be depending on self-knowledge, but on the knowledge of God, and the anointing of His Holy Spirit and the power of His Word can become real in our lives. Ezekiel was in the spirit. Ezekiel was in the spirit, and the Lord carried him through the temple. I just love that. And the Lord carried him. Say, the Lord carried him. How many of you know that when God carries you, you're going to wind up in victory? You may feel like you're not, but you're going to wind up in the victory. God is going to carry you. The Bible says that He carried him. And when you read, you're going to find that from the 42nd chapter to the 47th chapter, He's going all the way. He is taking him. From the 40th chapter, excuse me, to the 47th, He's taking him through the temple. Seven chapters. How many of you know we get in such a hurry to get all of God that we usually miss Him? Are you? In other words, it took him seven chapters to take him through that temple. He began to show him the temple and begin to reveal it to him. And seven chapters later, He finally takes him through, and He took me through the temple. Listen, I want you to hear this morning. We don't need to get in a hurry when we're talking about God, or when we're serving God, or when we're worshiping God. We don't need to get in a hurry. Oh, don't worry, I'm only going to keep you about 25 more minutes. But you need to know that when you get in on your own personal time with God, don't get in a rush. Let God minister to you. Open up your heart and your mind, and let the Holy Spirit just fill you up, and let God begin to move you in the direction that He wants you to go. We need to be in the Spirit. Look at somebody and say, you need to get in the Spirit. You need to be in the Spirit. You need to be in the Spirit of God. Allow God to minister to you. Watch this. We need to get in the Spirit long enough for God to minister to it. It's kind of like our praying time. How many of you spend a lot of time in prayer? Raise your hand. Thank you, both of you. What's this? Most of the time when we pray, we know what we want, and we know when we want it, which is now. Yes. And we get right to the point with God.
Amen.
Come on. Come on. We don't even kiss Him. We need to love on Him. We need to love on Him. I'm serious, church. We need to just love on Him. We need to get into His prayer. That's getting into the Spirit. Let's just get into the Spirit and love on God a little bit. Let's just love on Him. Then let's go into what He wants of us. And then let's talk about what we'd like to have from Him. Are you there with me, church? I think that it's time you and I just realize that God wants us to love on Him just like we want Him to love on us. I just love that little video we saw earlier. You know, I'm telling you, it's all about, God pleasing us. No, God wants us. We need to get into the Spirit. We need to experience God in a way that we've never experienced God before. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to rest, and we're going to have to get in the Spirit. You know, a lot of people are afraid to get in the Spirit. Watch this. God is not going to ask you to do anything out of your ordinary. Listen, everything's ordinary to God. You need to realize that we need to forget about what I think's ordinary, or the fellow sitting next to me thinks is ordinary, and let's just do what God said. We need to quit worrying about what everybody else thinks, and just know that one of these days we're going to meet our Maker, and we need to be concerned about what He thinks. He said, if you're going to be ashamed of me in this day, if you're going to be ashamed of me, then I'll be ashamed of you. We need to recognize the fact that it's time that we grow up in the Spirit of God. Paul said we need to grow up into Him. I prayed this morning, God, and I'm sure my wife prayed with me, Lord, give me the words to take us to the next level of spirituality in God. We've walked on the edge long enough. And when I begin to read this passage of Scripture, and I see where when Ezekiel got in there, the first thing he noticed at the door, there was water flowing out of the door.
Yes.
The water was flowing out. Let me say that again. The water was flowing out.
Wow.
We're expecting everything to flow in.
Right.
until you have a flowing out, you're not going to have a flowing in.
Amen.
You're going to have to recognize the fact that we need a flowing out. We need to give out. We need to flow in. It's kind of like you got to have an implosion before you can have an explosion. You got to have something to explode with, and we got to let this thing go out. And he looked and he noticed that the water was running out of the temple. It was running out, and when he saw that the water was running out, God had taken him through the temple, and he kept bringing him back to the same door that he came in at. How many of you ever noticed that sometimes we just seem to wind up at the same place we started?
Yeah.
Maybe God's trying to reveal something to you. And the Bible says, hey, I love this. The Bible says that he kept looking, the water was flowing out, and the water just kept flowing out, kept flowing out, and kept flowing out. And then I noticed that there was this guy that had a line in his hand, and he measured out 1,000 cubits, and he was in water up to his ankles, and another 1,000 to his knees and his loins, and et cetera, et cetera. You know what that tells me? The further it flew out, the deeper it got.
Yeah.
You know, you can stay at the door. You can stay at the door, or you could get in deep water. At the door, the water was only ankle deep, but there was waters to swim. And I don't know about you. Maybe that's not what you want in life. I don't know. Maybe that's not what you want in the spirit. But I want you to know that your pastor, one of your pastors, I want to get so deep in the spirit of God that when the devil comes along and tries to knock me out, I've got someone to intervene for me. I'm not on the edge. I'm in deep waters swimming. How many of you know that you have an enemy in your life? It's Satan.
Amen.
You agree with that? Raise your hand. If you don't, keep your hand down. If you don't know, shake your head no. Listen, you've got an enemy, and he wants to keep you on the edge. You know why? Because he walks on the edge.
Amen.
And therefore, he can attack you at any time he wants to.
Yeah.
But when you get out in waters to swim in, you know what? Things take on a different meaning to you. You have a different attitude about things. When you're out in waters that you're swimming in, you really don't care what's happening on the shore. Watch this, church. We need to see that we have a different attitude when we get out there in those waters to swim in. We're just bathing, and we're covered, and we're not worried about. You know, the only thing that anybody can see is your head. That's all anyone can see is your head. But when you're walking on the edge, all they can't see is your feet. There's a lot to attack. I believe it makes us understand that his increase causes our decrease.
Yeah.
See, the further we get out, the less that anyone's going to be able to see of us. More they're going to be able to see of that river of life, that flowing river of life.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, we need to recognize the fact that when he began to see what was going on and God had begun to move him in and around that temple, I don't know about you, but I've studied the temple. I know what it looked like. I know where he went. And God said, I'm going to take you through this thing. And I'm glad you're in the spirit, Ezekiel, because if you were not in the spirit, I wouldn't be able to show you anything. You would just see what you've always seen. You've been in this temple before. God showed him a temple he had been in before, but it was different. Listen, you can go to the same church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and when the anointing of God and you begin to get into the Spirit of God, all of a sudden that church is different. You know why? It's not really the building, it's you. It's you, it's me. We are the church. Look at somebody and say, you are the church. You are the church. You're the church. You know you are. You don't act like the church sometimes, but you are the church. Listen. We need to see that this thing, when he began to look, he'd been in the temple before. And God says, I'm going to take you through the temple, but this time I'm going to show you things you've never seen. I'm going to give you a vision of what the temple is all about. The temple is not about what's in it. The temple is about what comes out of it. The church is not about what's in it. And we preach this. We preach at the door. Lord, forgive us, preachers. We have preached at the door for so long, nobody knows that there's anything but the door side.
Amen.
We've not been deep enough into it. I would this morning, Susan and I were praying, God, give me the words to get us to that place that we can go to another level. I don't know. I'm tired of the devil beating the hell out of me. I'm tired of having these attacks every time I turn around. I want to get so deep in the spirit that the enemy cannot touch me. I'm ready for God to move not just me, but go to church and Pastor Ron and I grab hold of our hand, lock arms, and tell the devil we're ready to meet him on any ground. We need to get in the Spirit. Look at somebody and say, you need to get in the Spirit this morning. You need to allow God to move in your life. You know, I would love for us to be the kind of church God wants us to be. How many of you ever studied church history? If you have, you will know that the church started out differently than what it is today. You know, it's hard for us to understand that these guys, the first church, even the first organized church, were radical people. These people were crazy beyond thought. These people loved Jesus so much that they were willing to die for him.
Yes.
Listen, you know, that's radical. Radical is not jumping around doing a little boot scooting and a swaying here and there. That's not radical. Radical is saying, I believe in you enough, I'll die for you. I don't care what I have to go through. I'm going to serve you. And I don't care where I have to go, I'll go. Just give me the means, God. That's radical. These guys were radical. And then the organized church began to take control of the radical believers.
Yeah.
They began to take control and say, hey, we don't do things that way. We're going to never win people if we do it that way. Let me tell you, you'd be surprised what one man can do with 12 followers.
Change the world.
Not just change the world for a little while, but forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
Forever. Somebody asked me one time, said, what would you do if you found out that Jesus really wasn't the Messiah? I said, well, I'll tell you what, he was good. I don't care what he is, he was good. When one man can take 12 men and change the whole world forever and make everyone look to a place called eternity. Oh, listen, he's good. And if he's that good, I'll follow him because we're going to win. We're going to win. And you need to recognize the fact that it's time for you and I to get to that place that we're really not concerned about what the world thinks. I hope that God gives lets you receive this in the same manner that he put it into my heart. And that is, I want you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. I want you to be filled with the Spirit of God. And every time that you have to face something that's not good, you can face it knowing that Jesus Christ has already overcome it for you. And knowing, as Pastor Ron said this morning, that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. No kind of power or principality or things present or things to come or angels and non-angels, all this stuff, they cannot separate you from the love of God. You know why? Because he is in you. He is in you. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that when John saw heaven, there was no temple there. There's no sun there. There's no temple there. You know why? He said, because the Son and the Father is the temple. You really need to get a hold of this. Some of you have never really recognized the fact that you are carrying the revelation temple in you. You are carrying it in you. We're carrying the temple around in us. That's the reason when we face diversity and things begin to work erratically in our lives, that we can stand firm and be confident to know that the kingdom of heaven is within me. I just know that God is trying to take us to that place that we can quit letting these little things interfere with our worship and with our service for him. It's the little foxes. You want me to tell you a little fox in the church? The enemy would love to attack the unity of the church. Let me tell you, how can two walk together lest they are agreed? Listen, me and Pastor Derek, as long as we're agreed, we can walk together. And do you know what? He can turn and go his way, and I can go my way, but our spirits are walking together.
Yes.
Are you with me? Go ahead. Thank you. Are you with me? In other words, we got to have unity.
Yes.
We got to have unity. And you know what? I've always said that if I go to a church, I don't care What they dress like, I don't care. What they act like, I don't care. Where they live, I don't care. What color they are, I don't care. How big they are or how little they are. It really doesn't matter to me. You know what matters to me? Is that I've got my heart so right with God that I cannot see nothing but Jesus in them. That's the spirit of unity. When I don't see Pastor Derek, I see that temple dwelling within him. Listen, and some of you have heard me say this before about Pastor Ron. When we first started getting together, I recognized, and he recognized, that our hearts were unified. Amen. We're looking for the same thing. I've just been looking a lot longer than him. You know, we bonded in our spirituality. And listen, church, I know his heart, the same as mine. We want to see you grow. Oh, you know what? I know that one of these days we're going to meet the Father head on. We're going to be right there. Jesus is going to be our speaker. He's going to be speaking for us. And then we're going to be asked a simple question. Show me your fruit. And you know what? I want to be able to look back and with Pastor Ron, and let's point back and see all of the people that we've impacted. That's the spirit of God. That's unity. That's what I'm looking for in this church. That's getting into the spirit of God. And I'm going to ask you, do you want to dwell at the door or do you want to get in waters to swim in? Waters to swim in. Oh, my goodness. Waters to swim in. I just want you to know that there are waters out there that you've never experienced. There's power out there that you've never experienced. Oh, I'm gonna close with this. I used to, years ago, when I first went into the charismatic movement, I'd pastored in a Methodist church, but when I first went into the charismatic movement, I really got in to praying. Seriously, you say, wow, you didn't pray as a pastor? Yeah, but I prayed differently. But I began to pray with confidence. Oh, I just knew that my God heard every word I said. And I knew that the enemy heard every word I said.
Amen.
And I was kind of like Jerry Seville. I kind of felt like that every time I went into prayer, I'd start walking. When I pray, I walk. Amen. Oh, man, I can't sit still. I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of God won't allow me to sit still. I got to walk. I'll walk around the room. I'll walk around the house. I'll walk through the woods. I'll get me somewhere to walk. And after I get to walking, I'm going to get to praying. And after I get to praying, I'm going
to
get to preaching. I guarantee you there ain't a tree anywhere near our open property that ain't saved. I preach the hell out of every one of them. Listen, I'm telling you, church, you got to realize it's time that we get awakened to the Spirit of God. But I was in this mode that I believe that whatever I prayed, God heard me. And he loved me so much that he was going to do it for me. I know. And I would tell anybody, look, I hate it for you, but I'm the favored son. I hate it, I hate it, I hate it, but I'm the favored son, and I know he's going to hear me. I used to go to the hospitals. The story I wanted to tell you, I used to go to the hospitals in Bay County, Bay Memorial, Bay Medical Center, Bay Memorial Hospital back then. I'd go, and you know what? I'd go in there, and I didn't have anybody in the hospital, but I'd go to the hospital every day, 5 days a week, every day of the week, I went to the hospital. You know what I went for? Pray for sick folks. You know why? Because that's what I was told to do. And you know what? I'd go in, and finally it got to where the nurses would send me to rooms. Well, that's exciting. Man, that's really exciting because when you go in, you're kind of shy. You know everybody don't believe in Jesus, but I do. And I know everybody don't believe in healing, but I do. And I'll be very careful, and I won't embarrass anybody, and I won't insult anybody, but I want to go pray for someone. So do you have anybody you want me to go pray for? Then nobody ever had anybody for me to pray for. And I couldn't ever understand it because that place full of sick people. So I just go pick me a room. Yo, this is fun. This, if you want to try something, go knock on the door. Open the door. Act like I knew what I was doing. And I'd just walk right in there and I'd say, you know, the Lord sent me to pray for you. Would you mind? I've never had anybody say no. Honestly, I've never had anybody say no. I even prayed for an atheist, and he told me afterwards he was an atheist. But he didn't say no. Listen, you need to realize the power of prayer. God will direct you, and he doesn't give you a power of prayer and a healing ministry for no reason. So I would go in. Lady went in to pray for her. Laying in the bed there, and I get in front of her, and I almost started to pray. I asked a nurse, could I pray for her? She was in the room there. The lady was out. She said, you can pray for her. I said, but really, I don't think it'll do any good. And I said, okay. She said, because she's had 5 surgeries. We don't know what's wrong with her. Have no earthly idea. And I said, okay. Can I pray for her? She said, sure. I said, do you mind leaving the room? She said, why is that? I said, well, I don't mind you hearing. You can stand on the outside, but I need to get that doubt out of here. Because when I leave here, I expect God to have done something. And watch this. I didn't even get to pray. You know, God just don't do things the way I think he should sometimes. I didn't even get to lay my hand on her head. I started to lay my hand on her head. And guess what happened? I looked down. Well, at first I heard something. Then I looked down at her feet. And her feet just began to, nothing else. Her whole body was calm and still, but her feet were moving. And I'm thinking, wow, this is weird. And then I got to noticing that the sheet, all the way up, it started moving. Her head was nothing moving. And it went all the way up to the top of her head and went all the way back down. I hadn't prayed a word yet. And then she opened her eyes and said, where am I? I said, you are in the midst of being healed. Woo! You are about to be healed. And God told me to tell you to get up. Amen. 5 surgeries. God said, get up. And she says, where's the nurse? I said, to hell with the nurse. God said, get up. Get up. I reached and I grabbed her by the hand. And I pulled her, set her up. She threw her feet off of the bed. And the next thing I know, she started spinning like a top, about like Michelle does. She started spinning like a top, and she went out of that room and down that hall. And listen, she was rejoicing and celebrating. Watch this, church. She was rejoicing and celebrating. And do you know what? Nobody else probably knew what she was going through.
That's right.
But there was a purification.
Yeah, well, that's right.
There was a purification going on in her body. Now, you got to hear this. So she's spinning around in that hall. How many of you ever been in the hospital or been visit somebody in the hospital? How many of you know that those robes don't have nothing in the back? Zero. And she's spinning around. And here is this precious woman walking by, had a bun on her. She's walking by, and she sees her spinning, and her dress is open, or the gown is open. She's trying to close the gown. She's running around behind her. When I first saw it, I thought they were both in the spirit. When she got through, this lady attended our church and served in our church, or didn't serve in it, but came to our church like for well over a year. Drove from Panama City to Wewahitchka. Was there every Sunday. And she got up and she gave that testimony. We had a revival break out. Let me tell you, you know what the modern day church needs is a good old fashioned revival. We need to be revived in our spirits. And it starts right here. And it's okay to be radical about it. It's perfectly okay. The Spirit of God will never insult or embarrass anyone. Nothing will. I mean, and I know that to be a fact because when I saw JoJo with that chicken hat on his head and he wasn't embarrassed, I said, nothing can embarrass this kid. Are you with me? Church, if you've got the right spirit, if you've got the right spirit and you are hearing from God, you will not embarrass yourself or embarrass God or anyone else. What I want to tell you is this. Let's move forward in the Spirit of God. Let's get ourselves together and quit worrying about what other people are doing. Listen, And we in the church are so, and we are here, please hear me, we are so concerned about our first-time guests that we've almost let our old-time guests drain out. Yes.
Talk, amen.
We just have forgotten about it. We got to grow. Yes. We got to let, if you're going to grow, you got to become older in the spirit. And that's the reason the older needs to teach the younger. We need mature people and we've got to grow them up. I love the first time. We love them. We're going to continue to love them. But I pray that God will take, go to church to the next level in spirituality and allow us to do what he's called. I want you to stand up with me all over the building. I believe that today is the day of reckoning in our spirits. Today is the day that God has called us to be who we really are. God is saying to you this morning, do you want to dwell at the gate? Do you want to dwell at the door? Or do you want to get in rivers to swim in? What do you want to be? What do you want to be? Where do you want to be? I remember years ago, I invited this guy to sing, and my praise and worship leader, sure you remember this, my praise and worship leader says, you don't want him to sing? He's tone deaf. And I said, well, it couldn't be all that bad. I've already invited the guy to sing. Well, after the first note, I'm thinking, what was I thinking? It was too late. It was too late. So then I changed my prayer. I said, oh, Lord, let it be quick. And then I changed my prayer again. I said, Lord, just do something. Just do something before his voice hits the ears of the people. And through all of that, God still moved on it. What I'm trying to tell you is if our hearts are right and we're concerned about growing into the Spirit and bringing someone with us, God's going to take care of it. God is going to take care of it. God is going to take care of it, church. Look at somebody and say, God's going to take care of it. I love you, JoJo. Hey, God is going to take care of it. This is the thing I love the most. You know what? If I go to a church, I'm not going to get involved in everything that they do because I've been in churches that I wouldn't have felt comfortable. Are you with me?
Yeah.
But there were some things that I knew were of the Spirit of God. May not have been what I was accustomed to, but I knew it was of the Spirit of God. Those things I began to participate in. I won't never forget. The first, being a Methodist boy, the first charismatic service I'd ever attended, these people started dancing all over the place. And I thought, that's ridiculous. And then I thought, but you know what? They're happy. They're celebrating. I preach we need to come to church to celebrate. They're celebrating. And I said, you know, that's okay. So I thought, I'll just dance with them. My wife will tell you, I have two left feet. Mike Deal would hate to see me come into his studio. But I love to dance before the Lord. I can get right by myself. It's kind of like singing in the shower. Everybody sounds good in the shower. It's kind of like singing in the shower. It's dancing before the Lord. It's loving God. It's just allowing him to be a part of my life. I know that he's a part of it. And I know that I want to be a part of his life. But I want to be able to just turn loose. I know. I know sometimes it's so difficult. But I just want to pray over you this morning that God will release you from those things you've been bound by. God will release you from tradition. You know what? When I got saved, I was everybody was happy, I'm sure. But can I tell you, I wasn't where I wanted to be. I think I said a couple of weeks ago, you know, when I first got saved, I got rid of all those things I didn't like about me. And then after I got into the Word and God began to minister to me, he got rid of those things he didn't like. Listen, I want God to get the tradition out of me. I don't want any tradition because where we're going, there is no tradition. You know what tradition is here? Tradition is here is Christmas and Easter and 4th of July and Thanksgiving. You don't experience any of those. You're going to experience the feasts and the festivals. That's going to be the tradition. And you know what? I know you're not going to like it, but you're going to adapt to it. You're going to adapt to it. And now's a good time to start adapting and allowing God to move. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, you know the heart of every individual in this building. And Lord God, I pray that you will remove the tradition out of this church and out of each and every individual. Father, open the door of true worship. For you said in your word, and I'm reminding of your word, that we must worship you in spirit and in truth. Now, Father, we desire to worship you in spirit and in truth. Now, Father, you know every heart. You know those that really are wanting to grow and be more than they ever were in you. I ask you to touch them right now. Give them. Give them, Father, what will take them to that place. I'm going to invite you, if you would like, this is a call for growth, a call for spiritual growth. If you would like to grow spiritually in God, and you know there's more than you've accepted, you know there's more than what you have, I'm going to invite you to come. I'm going to ask our leaders to come and get down here, because we're waiting on you. We want to pray that God will move on us and